friends, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. You know, this is a very, very busy time of year. I don't have to tell you that as we race toward Christmas Day. But in the busyness of this season, we want to take time to focus on the real reason for the season. And of course, that is Jesus Christ. But we want to do it in a way that doesn't just acknowledge that it's really about Jesus, but we want to know what it is about Jesus that makes him the reason for the season. What is it that causes his name to cause such controversy and stir this time of year? What is it about his coming to this earth that has not just brought peace and love, which is the great ideal that everyone seems to be pursuing, that has any pureness in their heart at all? But it seems that so many miss the significance of the persons and places of Christmas in the Bible, in the prophecies, and in the fulfillment of those prophecies. There is a God of precision who has pre-planned everything down to the minute details. This is a God who knows you so well, talking about precision and pre-planning and this kind of detail. You know, Jesus said something so profound to me and so moving to my heart in the New Testament. He said that the very hairs of our head are numbered. And God knows the count. Some of our heads, maybe he doesn't have to count very high, but the significance of that statement is this: God knows how many hairs there are on your head, and he knows the number of them. He had previously said that the sparrow is the least of the birds in the marketplace, but not one of them falls to the ground without your Father. It means he notices that. In essence, he's saying he takes that to his own heart. It touches his heart when one sparrow falls to the ground. And then he said something to you and me in light of that: you are worth more than many sparrows. Today I want you to know to the length God has went to save you, to save me. This covers Christians and non-Christians alike. God's great love has reached out through Jesus Christ to every person on this planet. He wants none to be lost. You know, the Bible said it's not his will that any perish, but that all might have eternal life. And that is the reason for this season. That is why Jesus came to lay in that manger. And God pre-planned it. That is the message of Micah chapter 5. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, our subject, of course, is another installment this season of a Savior born in Bethlehem. A Savior born in Bethlehem. And the great message coming from this prophecy is that God has pre-planned everything down to the least detail. And because of that, we can take courage in our heart that God has a plan for you and God has a plan for me. And before we hit the ground running, so to speak, when we came out of that safety and security of the womb, and we had to start screaming out to get attention or to say that we were hurting, God has a plan. I am so convinced that God has a plan for you, and God has a plan for me, and God has a purpose in everything, and he can use. He doesn't send evil. He doesn't send hurt and harm, but he can use it all to help us find and pursue and fulfill his plan for our life. Praise God. So I want you to listen today. Let's begin reading about this little place in the plan of God for the birth of his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen to it. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And I'm just going to read the beginning of verse 5. And this man shall be the peace. And this man shall be the peace. And by the way, even when the Assyrians shall come into our land, this man shall be the peace. When he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. Because why? Because this man shall be the peace. Praise God. If you don't find your peace in Jesus, you will never find it in a package underneath the Christmas tree. That's guaranteed. And we need this peace that God promised through His Son and our Savior, Jesus, this season. You may have lost your job. You may have lost a loved one to death. You may have lost a child to death. You may have lost your best friend to a separation that has come through some misunderstanding between you. You may have lost a grandma or a grandpa. You may have lost a husband or wife because of divorce. Whatever you may be facing this very season, there's a great cry in the heart of people living in this fallen world for peace, for comfort, for consolation, for hope. And the Bible gives us that hope because it points us to a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And the place he was to be born, of course, is Bethlehem. This little town, little baking town with a great history, by the way. But we're not going to go into all of that again. But it is the city of David. And that's why the Bible said when the shepherds appeared to the angels, they said, "We bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you in the city of David." Not in some little town somewhere down there. No, in the specific city of David. And it was prophesied here in Micah. This Bethlehem is the city of David. Praise God. Amen. And though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of these shall he come unto me. That is to be the ruler in Israel. First thing, as I said, God has pre-planned. Pre-planned. You know, Jesus, it says of Christ that he is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. God's plan to save man wasn't an afterthought. He didn't try to quickly put together some kind of plan after Adam sinned. The plan was in place like a safety net, praise God, underneath the trapeze artist. God had the net in place because when he gave man a free will to make choices, he knew man could choose the wrong path and open up the door for the enemy, the evil one, to come in and influence him. But I'm telling you, he had a plan to save him. And that plan was to provide a salvation through a Savior, through a Lamb, the Lamb of God, that would take our place on the cross. Praise God, become the substitute. So God had a plan. That's a message coming from Micah. And I believe that God has a plan for you. And God has a plan for me today. In fact, I believe God planned for us to be interacting right now. You in this listening audience and me as I sit here today before this microphone. I don't believe it just happened. I believe God puts things together and people together in places and persons for His purposes to be realized. Amen. And I believe God is wanting to get a message through to us today that we desperately need to hear in this time of tumult, trouble, and uncertainty. The Bible said of Jesus, not just that God has a plan, He has a place for Him to be born, but He has a purpose in His birth. Verse 4 said, He will stand and shepherd in the strength of the Lord. In other words, God doesn't help those who help Himself. You can have help, but you don't have to do it on your own. you can turn to God for strength. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And that's why the Bible said in the Old Covenant, to them that hath no might, he increases strength. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that's why Paul said in the New Covenant, when I am weak, then am I made strong. It's hard to admit our weaknesses sometimes. It's hard to admit our needs. There's someone out there today saying religion is a crutch. A friend of mine, religion, if it's the Christian faith, is not a crutch for people, for weak people, because we have no strength of character. It's because we understand that in and of ourselves, we can't cope with everything. Some people are coping right now through alcohol, some through drugs, some through some kind of illicit sexual obsession that is to keep you from focusing on the harsh realities of life in a fallen world. Everybody is leaning on something. We are leaning on someone. Amen. And I'm readily going to admit I am too weak. I have tried it on my own. I messed it up. I blew it. Some of you, if you'll get honest with me, you've blown it too. But we have a God who understands our frame. David said, you take pity on us because you know what we have to discover, literally, that we are but dust. We're of earthly materials. We're not celestial. We're not super. We're not immortal. We are very, very finite and very mortal in our flesh. But inside of every one of us is an eternal, undying soul. And God wants that soul saved. And not only does He want us saved, He wants to strengthen us for this journey. Praise God. And that's why the Bible said He, Jesus, will stand and shepherd, not in His own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. That's why when he came and picked up the book and began to read in the temple, he stated what the prophecy said of him, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He hath anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty the captives, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He said, what I'm doing in the strength of the Lord. And friend of mine, Jesus, who was the second person of the Godhead, when He took on flesh, He operated under God's strength, not His own. It was His by virtue of being God's granted to Him. And it's ours the same way. We don't have to live life in our own strength. Hallelujah. We don't have to handle it on our own. God doesn't help those who help themselves. God helps those who come to an end of themselves and put their trust wholly upon Him. Amen. I remember the story, the true story of a missionary who was seeing many people saved in South Africa. He was actually living with a particular tribe that had by and large come to Jesus, and they were going from that tribe through interpreters from that tribe to share the gospel with other nearby tribal communities. And he was trying to find a word in their language that would encapsulate what faith really is, what faith in God really is, what the word faith means. And he took all of his biblical understanding and knowledge of faith and personal experience of trusting Christ and trusting God for everything. And he was trying to find that word in their language. And he was kind of at an impasse. He was kind of in a dilemma when they delivered a couch, that long-awaited and greatly appreciated couch, to the little mission home. And they brought it actually by some kind of boat down a river, and then they took it by down a path and brought it to this little obscure village. And they placed that couch in place, and those who carried it, two men who carried it, very, very far, one of them just sat down on it. He said, "May I sit upon this?" And the missionary said, "Of course, if you're tired, sit down." And he sat down, and it was so soft, so inviting. Hey, it's still soft and inviting to me. And he laid down on it. He stretched out on it. And when he did, he said a word in their particular language. And the missionary said to his interpreter, "What was that word? What was that word he just said?" When he cast his whole weight upon the couch. And that's what the word was. It was a word in their language for resting your whole weight upon something. And that's what he wanted to teach them about faith. Faith is not just a force that magically or supernaturally comes within us as we read promises. It's something that happens when we put our trust in a person until we can just absolutely give it to God. There's an old kind of cliched saying about let go and let God. Or take the weight off. When we take the weight off, when we cast our burden upon the Lord, and we rest in His love, and we rest in the full assurance that God is faithful and His word is true, and we begin to be strengthened in that position of relying on Him and reliance upon Him, we too can receive the strength of the Lord. Our lives do not have to be characterized by failure. No matter what happens, we can depend on Him to get us through. That is the message of Micah, the continuing message of Micah. Our lives don't have to be characterized by failure or bitterness or missed opportunities. He will give to you and me the strength we need to face whatever comes our way. That's what Christmas is all about. It means, friend, we are not alone down here to fend for ourselves, and we are not left victims to the circumstances of our lives. We have a shepherd that stands in the strength of the Lord to shepherd us. Amen. And we can therefore expect victory to be granted. The grace we need, the strength we need, is made available because Jesus came and became one with us and one of us by taking on flesh as a little child in a mother's womb, born in the city of David, the city of Bethlehem. A mighty Savior, a shepherd king stood up. Praise God. And He stood up to go to a cross and die like a lamb of God, a sacrificed lamb on that cross, so that He could take the punishment, so that our sins could be forgiven. We could be reconciled to God, and we could receive strength from the Lord. So He offers us strength because He stood and shepherded in the strength of the Lord. In fact, Jesus said, "The works you're seeing, they're not mine, but what I see my Father do. And the words are not mine, but what I hear my Father say." So first, there is strength offered for you and for me. That we need in our life to sustain us. When we are so weak, we can't even stand up. He says, then lay down in me. Rest in me. Praise God. Hallelujah. The second thing He gives is security. Security. We live in an insecure world. I don't have to tell you that. Neither certainty nor safety exist, even though we spend our lives trying to find them. We look to the government, we look to our employer, our investments, our relationships, and none of them can provide us with the security we need. The things we turn to most often simply don't have the ability to offer true security. Like Bob Weiland learned in Vietnam, our world can come crashing down on us at any moment. One simple word can change our lives forever. A word like divorce or cancer or downsizing. We hear that word and suddenly the world doesn't seem so safe anymore. The fact is, we don't know what will happen tomorrow. We don't even know what our Christmases will be like. We can't depend on the world to give us security, because it simply doesn't have it to give. There's only one place we can find security, Micah said. And they, which means his flock, and if you're saved today, it means you and me, shall live secure. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Jesus offers the security of knowing that he is in control. I want to just stop and say that again. Jesus offers the security of knowing that he is in control. And he has the power and the ability to take care of us. That's what a shepherd does. And that's what he wants to do for you and me. Ezekiel says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. Amen. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. That's in Ezekiel 34, verse 15 and 16. He's saying, I will take care of you. You are safe with me. If you're lost, I'll find you. If you stray, I'll bring you back. If you're injured, I'll strengthen you. I'm your shepherd, and I will take care of you. Bob Leland seemed to have lost it all in Vietnam when he lost his legs. But he said, they took my legs. They didn't take my heart. They didn't take my spirit. Hey, they didn't touch his faith. He went on to live a productive and really a life that man, I went to the gym. I could never bench what Bob Leland benched in the gym. He just proved that through faith in Christ and through faith in God, you can get strength to get through anything. Praise God, and you can get the help you need because God has sent us a Savior. In the city of David, in that little town of Bethlehem, who said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. In Hebrews 13:5, he said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. He went on to say that the Father that giveth them me is greater than them all. I shepherd in the strength of the Lord, you see. John 10, that is, in verse 27 and 28, Jesus offers you true security and safety. He came into the world for that purpose. That's what Christmas is all about. He offers a kind of security that the world cannot offer. Security based not on things and circumstances, but based on his never-ending love for you and for me. And his greatness, Micah says, reaches unto the ends of the earth. He's saying there's no place you can go or nothing that can happen that extends beyond the power of God to take care of you and to take care of me. I'm so glad he gives me strength because I need it. I'm so glad he gives me security. I'm glad I can lay my head down at night and know that if I don't wake up in the morning, if I have an aneurysm in my sleep, hallelujah, amen, if that event should happen this very night, I will be with Christ. I'm in good hands, not because of an Allstate agent, no offense intended, but because of what Jesus has done at Calvary. And if I wake up here, he is with me to help me with all the issues of living in a faulty body in a fallen world. So if I wake up here, Christ is with me. If I wake up there with him, I am with him forever, ever. It's a win-win because he gives us that kind of security. And thirdly, he gives serenity or peace. We don't live in a peaceful world. Most people don't have inner peace. And you only have to glance at the headlines to remind yourself that external peace is a rarity also. There's always been fightings between nations. Jesus came to bring peace to all who follow him. Micah said in verse 5, and he will be their peace. The Bible calls him, among other things, Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, Counselor and Prince of Peace. Jesus' birth was announced by angels who said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men." That's Luke 2 and verse 14. And as Jesus was approaching death, he said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I thee." See, in this world, you can't obtain that peace. If you look it up in the dictionary, the explanation for peace, the definition of peace is the cessation of wars, which this world has never known. It's the circumstantial peace of everything being perfect, like that Hallmark movie, which the world isn't. That isn't reality. But Jesus said, even if it was, it would only be external peace. It wouldn't be internal peace. And the big mistake is that if we can achieve external peace, it will produce inward peace, but it will not. Only Christ can bring that peace. Because He reconciled us to God, and we can rest in the full assurance that God's strength, God's blessing, God's protection, God's provision is with us, and there's no circumstance. Paul put it this way, there's nothing, death nor life, principalities or powers, things present, things to come, that can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Praise thou, friend, that is security. It brings inward peace. Praise God. And Jesus said that you can't get this in the world, but don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid in John 14 and verse 27, because I'm going to leave peace with you, not like the world gives. I'm going to give it to you. Even when we can't experience peace in the world around us, we can experience His peace in our inward world. Jesus came into the world to take away all the things that destroy our peace. He wants to carry your burdens. He wants to lift our anxieties. He wants to take away our sins. Those things that tend to make your life and mine miserable are the very things Jesus came to take care of. That's what He wants us to do. He wants to be your shepherd, and He wants to give you and me His peace. Praise God. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see you lie. O little town of Bethlehem, praise God, a Savior was born in Bethlehem. You know, it's humbling today to admit that we can't take care of ourselves, but that's exactly what we should and must admit. It's hard to face the fact that our worlds are so fragile and insecure, and it's impossible to create peace. But there is a child who was born in a manger, and now is not just this day that it has meaning, not just Christmas Day that we should focus on what that means to us, but every single day of our life. For this child has given us the incredible gift of strength, security, and peace. In all the circumstances of this day, know the meaning. God has become a man to give you strength, security, and peace. Because that man of 30 years old would go to an old rugged cross, he would hang on it, and he would die so that we might have peace with God, and we might have the peace of God in our hearts and in our lives. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you can have this peace, this strength, this security by repenting of your sin right now. We've all sinned. He knows we've sinned. He sent Jesus to take our place so our sins could be forgiven at the cross. Confess your sins. Receive Christ as your Savior. Receive eternal life in the world to come. An abundant life filled with His peace and joy. in this fallen world, right here and right now. You see, there's a future, eternal reward for receiving Jesus, but there's an immediate, right now reward. Peace fills the troubled soul. Forgiveness relieves the burden and guilt of sin. So come to Christ today. We love you. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.